As the presidential election approaches, we've asked four people to make the case for the two major party candidates on foreign and domestic policy. Earlier this week, we heard from Michael Gerson and John McWhorter on domestic issues. In a moment, Sarah Sewell, former Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense and a senior foreign policy advisor to the Obama campaign, will join us to tell us why she supports the Democratic candidate on foreign policy. On tomorrow's program, we'll hear from former Secretary of State Lawrence Eagleburger for John McCain. Obama supporters, make the case for your candidate on foreign policy. Our phone number, 800-989-8255. Email us, talk@npr.org, and you can post your final argument on our blog at npr.org/blogofthenation. Sarah Sewell is the faculty director of the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard, a senior foreign policy advisor to the Obama campaign. During the Clinton administration, she was the Deputy Assistant Secretary of Defense for Peacekeeping and Humanitarian Assistance, and she joins us now from Cambridge, Massachusetts, and it's nice to have you back on Talk of the Nation.
Hi, Neil. Thanks for having me.
How would you describe Barack Obama's national security strategy, and what appeals to you about it?
Well, Barack Obama starts from the premise that the 21st century is a really different place than the world during the Cold War era. And I think that's the fundamental point of departure for him, both in terms of distinguishing him from the current Bush administration and distinguishing him from his opponent in the general election. I mean, this is a 21st century in which we have a really different set of challenges to face as a nation. And the work of keeping Americans safe and keeping the country secure is more complex and much more of a challenge that requires really wise judgments. The old approaches from the Cold War, in which the world was divided into black and white and in which the use of military force was really how we thought about the conduct of foreign policy, simply won't wash. It won't sustain American leadership, and it won't keep Americans safe. So I think he starts from a premise that the world has really changed, and we need a leader that understands the world as it is today, not the world as they wish it were.
He early on in the campaign said that he would meet with the leaders of rogue nations in the first year of his presidency, and he's backed off some of that in more recent statements. Nevertheless, do you think it was rash for him to say that in the first year of his presidency he would meet with people like Hugo Chavez or Mahmoud Ahmadinejad?
You know, Neil, what's so interesting about the kinds of questions that I'm often asked about Senator Obama is people have an assumption that somehow he's taken these positions that were rash or naive. And I think it's worth really delving into the record. When you think about the decisions that he's made and the ways in which they were perceived at the time, and then you look at what has actually happened in terms of the Bush administration's actions, the rhetoric of his opponents, the conventional wisdom coming around, I would argue he has influenced the foreign policy debate in ways that are really unprecedented. So start with his opposition to the Iraq War, which at the time was a politically costly position to take. It was a position that he has sustained. He was the first to call for a timetable, and now where are we? The Iraqi government and the Bush administration are working towards a timetable for withdrawal. When you think about Afghanistan, Barack Obama was one of the first to be pointing out that we had really lost our strategic focus as a country in the war on terror, that we were neglecting Afghanistan and the border with Pakistan at our peril, and that we really needed to keep our eye on the fight, and we needed to send not only more troops, but really recraft a whole different strategy there. And now that's what everyone, including the chairman of the Joint Chiefs of Staff, is saying. If you look at Pakistan, Barack Obama pointed out the dangers of unqualifiedly supporting President Musharraf and ignoring the underpinnings of a democratic society. He called for a new relationship. He said we should condition aid. Well, where are we now? We have a new democratically elected leader. Musharraf is gone, and we're hopefully going to be rethinking our aid policy. Finally, the piece about talking with Iran is part of a broader construct that Senator Obama has illustrated to be consistent with American foreign policy principles. That is to say, you shouldn't be afraid to talk to those with whom you disagree, even when you know they may hate you. It's a very smart way to figure out what your options are, what motivates them, and to strengthen your hand diplomatically when you pursue other options, whether they're sanctions or ultimately the use of force. So, you know, in all of these respects, he was taking positions that people sort of suggested were naive. And in fact, they've become, as with the case of Iran and the administration beginning to begin that dialogue, the change in Pakistan, the refocus on Afghanistan, the timetable in Iraq, they've become the conventional wisdom and in some cases the policies of the Bush administration. So I think the real question is, why haven't people recognized the extraordinary judgment that this individual has shown in foreign policy?
One of the criticisms the McCain campaign would make is that, the beginning of the war, okay, he did oppose the beginning of the war. He also opposed the surge, argued vehemently against it, said it was the wrong policy at the wrong time, and you can make of it what you will. It's certainly not the only factor that has helped turn things around in Iraq, but it is certainly one of the factors that helped turn things around in Iraq.
Well, you know, that's another interesting case where people have really redefined the bar for what success in the surge means. If, you know, Barack Obama has said that General Petraeus has done a magnificent job with the help of incredible courage and talent on the part of our forces in reducing civilian casualties in the Baghdad area. Absolutely. He's very proud of that. But if you remember the original impetus for the surge, it was to enable a different method of reconciliation and to fundamentally change the political equation in Iraq, and that hasn't happened. So while he's very impressed by the role that American forces have played and impressed by the leadership that General Petraeus showed in turning that situation around, as you said, there were many factors, including Muqtadir al-Sadr's position, the Sons of Iraq coming around and changing their role in the fight. But more importantly, the fundamental measure of merit, which was political transformation, hasn't occurred. And the only way to do that, Senator Obama argues, is to make it clear that we're going to be withdrawing U.S. forces, but we have to do it as responsibly as possible and be as responsible getting out as we were irresponsible getting in.
We've asked listeners to call and make their best case for Barack Obama, their final argument on foreign policy, 800-989-8255. You can also weigh in by email, talk@npr.org. Let's begin with Rich, and Rich is on the line with us from Rochester in New York.
Hi, how are you doing today?
Very well, thank you.
I think she laid out a very good case for Obama, but I think also, Barack Obama is a very conciliatory person. George Bush came in to the White House with very strong and I think pretty ignorant views of the world. I think Barack Obama has a much more inclusive view of the world. He has a willingness to work with the UN, and the UN is, if you ask me, its strength is directly proportional to the support that it gets from the U.S. and its allies. And also, I think his willingness to work very closely with the European Union and to recognize when we should and should not be using preemptive force. In fact, I think he's basically against preemptive force. I think those are several of the things that have been tossed to the side by the Bush White House. They've almost acted in a bully-like fashion with the world. They told the world we don't need you until there's a situation that we need them. Then we go begging. I think we should always start working with the rest of the world, and if the situation warrants it, then we go on our own. But I think we've gone really backwards. I think that has hurt our standing in the world.
Rich, the unilateralism of the Bush administration is a bit overstated, and sometimes the multilateralism of the Barack Obama campaign can be overstated. But there's no question, Sarah Sewell, that Barack Obama, much more of a multilateralist.
Well, I think, you know, Rich is onto an even deeper point, which really has to do with the temperament and judgment that Barack Obama brings to the position of commander-in-chief. And he sees things in the long term, you know, none of this short-term feel-good, you know, lash out, but create a much bigger set of problems for the nation to deal with afterwards. He is fundamentally concerned with what will work in the long term, not just what will satisfy domestic political sensibilities in the short term. And he really thinks about problems in an integrated way, which is, I think, why Rich was talking about a predisposition to recognize the value of allies and partnerships in doing the very important security work that needs to occur on behalf not just of Americans, but of the larger community as well. He's also someone who thinks about second and third order effects, which is why, you know, he is concerned about energy, not simply as a question of the health of the economy. And that's indeed the health of the economy, he's argued, is a central part of the health of our security policy, but also because the dependence that we have on foreign oil fundamentally affects our foreign policy. So these are all important aspects of how he looks at the world and makes his decisions that really, I think, gives him the tenor of judgment that we need and his temperament, which is steady and focused and mature, and I think in stark contrast to some others on the political stage, which tend to be erratic and distracted. I mean, he has a pragmatism and a sense of the grayness and the nuance of the world that is precisely what we need in a leader for this century.
Rich, thanks for the call.
Okay, thank you.
So long. The United States government, this present administration, has recently been launching a series of missile strikes on suspected terrorist bases in western part of Pakistan, across the border. There was also one raid by U.S. forces carried in by helicopter there, which prompted strong protests from Islamabad. Recently, the United States Special Forces apparently carried out a similar anti-terrorist raid into Syria. Barack Obama has said that he might be tempted to go into western Pakistan if necessary to go after after Osama bin Laden if the Pakistani forces were unable or unwilling to do that themselves. How would an Obama administration be different from the policy that we're seeing now?
Well, what Senator Obama has said about Pakistan is considerably more nuanced, I think. I mean, it's very clear, and he's reiterated the point that both Syria and Pakistan have obligations as nation states for the activity that occurs within their borders. But his view about Pakistan is really much more complex than simply seeing it as a question of strikes against the border. But I want to make a distinction. This is another point on which Barack Obama has been criticized, but I think extremely naively criticized, which is he said that if we have actionable intelligence against senior leadership of al-Qaeda and the Pakistani government is unable or unwilling to act, we will. And those kinds of criticisms levied against him for saying that he would act to take action against those who masterminded and carried out the 9/11 attacks, I think bespeaks a fundamental oddity about the kinds of criticisms that are leveled at him. His view about Pakistan is one in which we have to forge a new partnership, one in which we don't provide a blank check. Some $10 billion worth of aid since 9/11 in pursuing this strategic partnership without a lot to show for it. Senator Obama's view is that Pakistan has to be reinvigorated and convinced of the need to take action to secure its borders, and that that's a very important piece of securing American interests in combating al-Qaeda.
We're talking with Sarah Sewell, a senior foreign policy advisor to the Obama campaign and on the director of the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard University, making her final argument for Barack Obama on foreign policy. Tomorrow, Lawrence Eagleburger, former Secretary of State for John McCain. And you're listening to Talk of the Nation from NPR News. And let's see if we can get Wayne on the line. Wayne with us from Columbia, South Carolina.
Hello, how are you?
Well, thank you. Go ahead, Wayne.
My final argument is for actually leaving Iraq, and that is the major focus of the foreign policy. Iraq is the major recruiting tool for those who want to harm us around the world, and our occupation there ending would be a great tool for ending that recruitment. Also, sitting down and talking with countries that are trying to acquire nuclear weapons, this administration took the stance that it wasn't going to talk to anyone, and that hasn't worked in any efforts to quit nuclear proliferation. And then in the recent weeks, they actually did some talking with North Korea, and we made some progress. So that line of reasoning seems like it will increase our standing around the world.
Sarah Sewell, if you would, I'd like to specifically get into Iraq, where the Bush administration, again, is negotiating a status of forces agreement that would require the withdrawal of American forces by the end of 2011. Is that a timetable that an Obama administration would be satisfied with? We're looking for an answer from Sarah Sewell, Wayne. I apologize. Go ahead, Ms. Sewell.
What Barack Obama has said is that we cannot solve the political problems in Iraq and that we need to focus their minds on doing precisely that. The only way to do that is to begin a drawdown that, in his view, would be significantly faster than that, but also retain a residual force that would carry out core missions, including the protection of embassies. And so his view of the whole Iraq situation is one in which Iraq is not unimportant, but we have to recognize the limits of our ability to fix Iraq. And he, as he said to General Petraeus, his responsibility as commander-in-chief is not to think simply about Iraq, but to think about the overall strategic posture of the country and the overall security of the nation. And by that calculation, the amount of treasure that is being spent in Iraq, even as the Iraqis sit on tens of billions of dollars of surplus for which they are not spending their own money on reconstruction, the amount of focus of our foreign policy and the amount of enmity that we've incurred on the part of other states by virtue of our posture in Iraq all indicate that a strategic view of American interests demands that we begin our exit from Iraq immediately. The difference between Senator Obama and President Bush and John McCain is that they are tactical, and they are willing to focus at this at the expense of our larger strategic interests.
Sarah Sewell, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you, Neil.
Sarah Sewell, Faculty Director of the Carr Center for Human Rights Policy at Harvard and a Senior Policy Advisor to the Obama campaign. Tomorrow, as we mentioned, Secretary of State Lawrence Eagleburger, the former Secretary of State, will join us to make the case for John McCain based on his foreign policy agenda. And before we sign off today, this is our last regular broadcast from the museum. I want to take a minute to say thank you to all the people here for their hospitality and for making our weekly visits possible. Jack Hurley and Susan Bennett, Deputy Directors of the museum, also Shelby Coffey and Jim Updike. We also had a great team working for us in the studio, Walt Hassett, Dennis Dunbar, and Tim Lawrence, and of course our team of engineers from NPR who make sure we always sound our best, Drew Reynolds, Melissa Marquis, Kevin Waite, and Dennis Nielsen. We will be back here at the museum next Thursday, though, for a special broadcast, Talk of the World, and back in Studio 3A next Wednesday to wrap up the results of the presidential election. So join us then, and in fact, join us tomorrow from Studio 3A. I'm Neil Conan at the museum in Washington, D.C., and this is NPR News.